Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Strength Academy podcast. And once again, this is Mundo, joined by Grayson.
How's it going, guys?
And so we've kind of been out for a little bit, and one of the reasons is because I competed at the Masters Weightlifting World Championships at Barcelona, Spain. And I know Grayson wanted to talk about some of the things that were going on, and I know he had some questions. So go ahead, Grayson.
Well, so we kind of left off on the last podcast talking about, you know, what you were going to do to help with kind of travel and finding some of that stuff. So how did your trip over there go? Was it according to plan?
Yeah, I'd say so. So I ended up, I did what I said, and I wore compression socks and I also wore compression pants. And I just kind of minimized the amount of time that I had kind of just making adjustments to my sleep schedule. I kind of just slept the whole way there and it worked out. So like I didn't have any swelling when we touched on the ground. I got to the venue and I did a small training session to kind of loosen everything up. And yeah, it worked out really well. I made weight, no problem. I ended up being like really far under. I was like 67.17. So I know I can make it down to that weight.
You weighed in at 67 at this meet?
Yeah, so I weighed in at 67.17.
Didn't you get on the plane at 70?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. Like between here and there, I lost like 3 kilos. So yeah, I know I can make weight for AO3 as a 67. So that's going to be...
That's good news.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as travel goes, flying across the ocean is really tough. Like the time change really makes it hard. So Barcelona's 8 hours ahead of Albuquerque time. And so I flew from here to Chicago and then from Chicago to Dublin and Dublin to Barcelona. And I got there at like 10 in the morning in Barcelona and it was rough. So making that adjustment was hard. And then lifting, I ended up lifting the next day. Which I don't know, it was hard, but I guess I pulled it off okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, I tuned in, the live stream was functioning up on YouTube, so it was fun to tune in and kind of watch live. I could see they did something a little bit weird with the format of your meet. So I had never seen somebody split a single session between two platforms, but they would have loaders on a platform a foot and a half away from whichever the active one was loading the next weight, and people were hopping back and forth between bars and between platforms. Do you think that's allowed? Is that legal? And did that throw you off at all?
Well, so as far as the rules go, I have no idea. Like I've never seen that done before. I've seen multiple platforms in a session, like from the AO series, but never on the same like stage area. So the platforms were set up right next to each other. There was a big stage, and while one lifter was going, another bar was being loaded, or there was another lifter going. So it could have been simultaneous, and at some points it was. I didn't really notice a difference in the bars. I had to switch between platforms once or twice. And there would be an official that would sit at the stairs before you would go up, and they would tell you which platform you were going to lift on. And even if the weights were the same for both people taking the attempts, it was really strange. I had never seen that done before. As far as, like I said, as the adhering to the rules, I don't know.
Because I mean, it just seems like it would be just a negative experience as an athlete, because you know as well as I, like, when you go out for introductions, you want to find your focal point.
Right.
But if you're introduced on the left platform and your first lift's on the right platform, now you got to go through a whole process of, all right, where am I going to look? Is this platform slightly more uneven than this one? Does the bar sit in a different place? Is this bar better or worse? Right. It seems like there's too much chaos in there, and it's not like it made it go faster, is my problem. When I was watching it, the loaders, because they were now trying to load two different barbells, were moving at half the speed that like a team of six at the AO series loads a bar. Like it was like they could have sped things up just by having you guys stay on one platform, because those loaders were just throwing plates all over the ground. and like forgetting things and just not moving with a purpose at all. It was like it elongated all of your guys' breaks. Like there was, I think one of your attempts, you had made a jump and it was supposed to be you again, but they took so long loading the bar that it gave you like an extra minute of rest, which could have been good or bad depending on how you were in your warm-ups. But
right, yeah, no, I didn't really notice. I was just trying to focus on just trying to make my lifts. But so when you were standing on the platform, they had like a spectator area that was elevated so that you were staring the audience in the face. So I had to find a focal point above them, and that was weird. So, and if you switch platforms, you were looking at different people, and so it was never the same. That part, yeah, it was a little weird, and it might have thrown me off. I think on one of my lifts, I actually went right when the buzzer sounded, and that kind of threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happens, and sometimes you should pay better attention to the clock, and I should have done so in that case.
But yeah, so tell me about so you ended up with an 81 on the snatch, 82.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So how, and I know that was from a bump in your opener. So yeah, so tell me about how your snatch warm-ups went. How you feel like you did with that one?
All right, so my snatch openers went really well. I mean, my snatch warm-ups went really well. I didn't have any problems making any lifts, and everything felt snappy and fast. And then I got on the platform and just, it fell apart. Like I missed my first two lifts, and then I ended up making the last one, but.
And the last one looked easy.
Yeah. I don't know why it does that. Like I have a really bad track record with missing my opener and, making like the lifts when it counts, but I put a lot of pressure on myself when that happens. But I guess I can pull it off. But yeah, so like I didn't have any problems with my warm-ups. Everything felt good. Everything was moving along smoothly. I didn't have any hiccups in as far as like the timing of my lifts and getting to the right numbers at the right, you know, appropriate number of lifts out. I just didn't pull it off. So yeah.
But you stayed in the meet.
Yeah, and I stayed in the meet. I made a total. And it actually was one of my best totals. Like, it matched my best totals.
The clean and jerk went very well. So, after the snatch, were you just like, I am making all of these clean and jerks? Was that essentially the attitude in the back?
That was it. That was I kind of, like, gave myself this do or die mentality. It's like, I'm gonna do it or I'm gonna die trying. And Robin was helping me because she was like, you flew all the way across this ocean to come here and make some lifts, so you better damn well do it. So yeah, I got some motivation from her too.
Well, that's good. So you ended with a 108 on the clean and jerk.
Yep.
And so that tie, or that's your PR clean and jerk, is from competing at 77 though, right?
No, it was from Masters Nationals, and that was 109.
109. Okay, yeah. So one under after some travel.
Yeah.
I mean, and a tie of your total.
And so, probably the lowest body weight I've ever competed at as a 69. So, yeah, it was, I couldn't have asked for a better experience. I mean, I would have liked to make more lifts, but who wouldn't, right? So, I think overall it was it turned out pretty well in the end.
Awesome, man. So we had one other lifter, Emily, who was lifting out there. So, let's hear the tale, man. How did it go?
All right. So Emily is one of our Masters lifters as well, and she went with me to Barcelona, and she was competing as a 90. And in her session, she ended up getting fifth, and she was really close to getting a medal spot. There was some lifters that ended up pulling off a couple, you know, better numbers than she did, but she was really close up there for a little bit.
That's outstanding.
And in that session, I think USA swept all the medals.
That's really cool.
Yeah, in her weight class. So, like, that was a really good session for her and for, you know, USA in general. But, yeah, she ended up getting, fifth with, let's see, she made a 157 total.
That's good.
Yeah, and she, I think she PR'd her competition total and her clean and jerk.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah, so she did really well. I tried to make sure that she kept on track and she was calm. She got a little nervous. Like, she, you know, she was stressing out a little bit, and I was able to calm her down and keep her on track and focused. And I know she missed one of her lifts that she doesn't really ever miss, and that kind of, like, stressed her out a little bit. But, you know, she jumped back right on that focus, and she was able to pull off some good numbers. And, like I said, ended up in fifth place out of, let's see, out of 10 lifters. So
right in the middle.
Yeah, and that's, I'm happy with that, and I hope she's happy with that too.
Yeah, for a first trip out, you know, that's really good to be kind of, it shows that you deserve to be there. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a really good learning experience as far as like traveling and cutting weight and making sure that over a long distance of traveling, like those long flights, that you don't swell and, you know, you continue moving, and then moving as soon as you get to the venue, finding places to eat, that was a struggle, because, you know, you're in a foreign country and not everything's the same. I know we talked about this before, but it really did, like, it was true. There wasn't anything that was really familiar.
What did you end up going with?
So I ended up going with some croissants.
Nice.
And they actually are really good. Like, they make really high quality carb items over there. But yeah, their croissants were delicious. And then I ended up going to a gas station and getting some tapas. And they were cheese and like baguettes, like sliced baguette bread.
Oh, okay.
And so that was really good.
Why don't we have that gas stations here? That sounds amazing.
Yeah, no, it was too. I was like, this is gas station food. And it was probably like the best like meal I've ever had from a gas station. So yeah, I was impressed.
That's really awesome, man. I think, it sounds like you guys had a really good time. It was fun keeping up with you guys, posting pictures of traveling around for that week or two after, or what was it, 6 days you stayed?
Yeah, it was about 9 days total.
9 days total.
And I ended up being able to do, like, something almost every day.
That's great, yeah. Man.
So I really enjoyed it. It was an amazing experience, both weightlifting-wise and just travel-wise. Barcelona was the place that I've always wanted to visit. So, yeah, I the weather was great. I couldn't have asked for a better trip. I really couldn't. Like, it was
What was the favorite place that you got to visit?
Ooh.
For all of our four or five listeners that are planning a trip to Barcelona.
I would have to say Costa Brava. And the reason is because, like, there was a beach there. I got to go snorkeling and kayaking, did some cliff jumping. And, you know, it was a fantastic experience. Like, just being out on the water, the weather was nice. There wasn't too many people. Like, we went to a beach in Barcelona, and it's called W Beach. And there was these guys, they're, from India, right? And they go around selling, like, beer and water, and, they sell mojitos and sangrias and random other stuff. And there was these Italian guys that were drinking Moet and getting really drunk and plastered. They had already had sunburn. They were wearing like gold rimmed glasses and just being like really obnoxious. And so I don't know what happened, but the Indian guy and the Italian guy started talking trash to each other at some point, probably because he was bugging them, like trying to sell them stuff. So then the Italian guy gets up, choke pushes the Indian dude, and the Indian dude is holding a tray full of sangria and mojitos, and he didn't drop any of them. And so he starts yelling at the Italian guy, and they're like going back and forth. And then like another Indian dude comes up and he starts separating everybody, and so everything calms down. But it was like an episode of being on South Beach, like in Florida. I was like, where am I right now?
I'm imagining that at least two out of those Italian guys had sweet feathered mullets.
No, they didn't.
No,
actually. It would have been so good if they did, but no, they were just like regular overweight Italian dudes just getting baked in the sun and then trashed with Moet popping bottles.
But well, that's good, man. It's a good reset. We're now 2 weeks out from you competing once again at the AO3. So it's good to know that you can get to 67, because we're going to be trying to get back down there,
yeah.
And lifting right on that Thursday, right?
Yeah, and this will be the only meet I ever try to compete as a 67. I'm just gonna try to do it this one time, and then that's it. I'm moving up. Like, it, for sure, I'm going up to the next weight class, which is 73. And yeah, I don't think I can stay at 67. My numbers will probably be a little more competitive at 67, but that's just not worth it to me.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, you know, you got to pick what you want, because it's, you know, yeah, I mean, we could all be more competitive if we dropped down another weight class and were able to lift the same weights, but at the end of the day, like, a lot of it for me is, like, I like eating too much to want to try to fit into a smaller weight class.
Yeah.
Where, like, I mean, like, doing a diet every now and then is fun just to work on body composition, but I like cooking elaborate meals and eating a lot and just eating when you're hungry and to recover and just kind of letting your body sit where it wants to. Especially for those of us that aren't, you know, within 2 kilos of a nationals total.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, if for you, you're going to make the 73 qualifiers as easily as you'll make the 67s.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you be more comfortable and just, you know, be able to eat and train and feel good rather than always trying to worry about, oh, did I put on a kilo?
Yeah. And that's exactly why I'm going to move up. It's just, I'll be stronger. I'll be at a more appropriate weight for my height as a weightlifter. And yeah, I'll just see how my numbers progress from there. I think being a little bit heavier and some, you know, gaining some strength will just be better for me all around. So I know there was something else that you wanted to talk about. So let's go ahead and jump onto those subjects.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about, we're kind of in the phase of training now where we're getting the team ready for that competition over at American Open Series 3. And people are starting to do their heavy singles. We're done with all of our rep work for back squat and front squat. We're down to, you know, doubles on pulls and, you know, doing them heavy and working on just kind of getting the heavy single and working on the technique of the, how do I approach the bar? How do I set up? And I thought it would be a good time to kind of talk about different ways that you can measure your progress within weightlifting, because we have, you know, a handful of people now that have been training long enough that they aren't getting a 15 kilo snatch PR at the end of every cycle, you know, and their back squat isn't jumping 35 kilos every 6 weeks. So, you know, talking about kind of how you can measure progress that isn't just attached to, oh, my one rep max snatch went up, or my one rep max clean and jerk, because there's a lot of other things that matter and that go into your long-term development. So I thought we could kind of talk about some of those. And I think one of the best ways is consistency.
Yeah.
So keeping track of what weight do I never miss? What's a weight that it's like a guaranteed make every time? And the key to, you know, I think being a better lifter is, the better you get, your consistency will stay up closer to your max. So when you're starting out, you know, you might make or miss 80%. But if you've been lifting for 3 or 4 years, I expect you to make 80% any time that you try it. So kind of thinking about what weight's on the bar and how comfortable is it? So I think consistency is one of the main things I like to see.
Yeah, and that's very true. I know a lot of people that they like to say that they've hit a wall in progress after they don't make a lot of PRs. But what they don't realize is that there's other ways, you know, to measure that. And like you said, one of them is consistency. So, like, there's also improvement in technique. And that pairs up with consistency. So, like, if your technique is improving, your consistency is going to get better as well. So your back squat, maybe you haven't put on, you know, 10 kilos on your back squat, but one back squat that you've gotten, you know, closer to every time, like, let's say you can hit 90% and, you know, you never have any problem standing it up, that's better than trying to get a 20 kilo PR on your back squat. But so, like, for me, for instance, my clean and jerk hasn't really gone up, but my snatch incrementally goes up. So that means my technique and my snatch has gotten better, even though I haven't really made a whole lot of progress in my clean and jerks as far as numbers go. I know I can hit clean and jerks a lot more precisely, at higher percentage numbers than I could before. And so while I'm not gaining a lot of ground on the numbers side of it, I am in technique. And that's progress. That counts for me as progress.
Yeah, I think a good example with the back squat is, you know, if you are continuing to improve your positions and your mobility,
right,
and maybe in one cycle you hit a back squat and the second time around you've improved your flexibility a little bit and you hit the same back squat but you squatted 2 inches lower. Well, that's not a failure to hit a PR. You squatted that in a way that's going to carry over to your lifts better.
Right.
So, you know, looking at how does your form work? How does it look when you do this? Does it look easy? Is the rhythm there? Is it a smooth rep? Did you maintain positions? Because, you know, a PR can be, you know, if the first time you tried to squat that, your hips shot way back and you had to kind of compensate and try to force your way through, and the second time you stayed stacked well and you were loaded on the whole foot the whole time, that's better.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd rather see, you know, you improving the way that you move, because it's going to, the weight's going to be added on to that later on, you know. So, and if it takes you 7 tries to make a weight, you're never going to lift it in a competition. So yeah. The consistency is, you know, if you can make it regularly, you can open with it. And the better you get with that number you're consistent at, you'll get to try heavier weights. But if you're all over the place and it, you know, and that's why we tend to have people stop after, if they miss 3 times, that's it.
Yeah.
Because at a competition, you don't get a fourth attempt. Yeah,
you don't get it. And, you know, I was thinking about that this morning, actually. I was just like, I don't like the fourth attempt mentality. And it's like, well, I'm just going to keep going until I hit it, or, you know, whatever. They just keep asking for more and more tries. It's like, yeah, but you don't get any more tries in competition. You get your 3 and that's it. So in training, like, you should have that same mentality of like, this is the heaviest lift I get to attempt and that's it. Like, there's not going to be another one. So move on to the next exercise. If you're generous enough to give them 3 tries, you know, that's okay. But if they're like building up to a heavy single, then they should probably stop at the last lift they made really, really well. If things fall apart because of, you know, they're not strong enough or their technique just isn't there, they need to stop wherever they can hit a lift with good technique.
Yeah, because if you manage to, like, you know, grind it out on your 11th attempt,
yeah.
I mean, it's cool, you lifted the weight, but you risked a lot doing that, because I would say 99% of the time, if you haven't made it in the first 3 tries, you're not going to. And those times that you do make it, it's going to be sketchy and risky. And it's not worth a hurt knee or elbow to, you know, just prove you could do 1 more kilo. It's, you know, you got to kind of take the long view. Because if you want to be really good at this, you have to keep doing it for another 5 years. So, you know, like, if you're... You know, so you have time. It's not like if you're starting out, it's like you don't need to kill yourself. Get better at moving. You're gonna get stronger as long as you're recovering.
Yeah.
You know, and take the long view, because it's like, yeah, if you're squatting a little bit more this month than last month, or a little bit better, or faster, or any type of measurement, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it than the weight on the bar. And I think that's kind of important for people. Like, it's so easy to get caught up in the weight in the bar, though.
It really is.
Because that's where you get to brag about it, right? It's hard, because that's, you know, what the measurement is. It's like, oh, what do you lift? But if you want to make sure that at the end of your career, you lifted the most and the best that you could, you got to focus more on, am I doing this right, and let this, and then push for the strength once you've got it down really well.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it is like the mentality of our generation, like the instant gratification thing, where you only think you're making progress if you're putting more numbers on the bar. And some of it's being greedy, because I've seen people hit PRs and then they'll go for another one. It's like, yeah, but the last lift you made looked good and it's a PR. Just stop there. They're like, oh, well, I just want to go for it again. It's like, no, don't be greedy. And then you know what happens? They end up missing anyway. Well, yeah. You could have ended on a good, solid, clean lift that was a PR, but then you got greedy and added another 2 or 1 kilo just for what? Just to make a miss. You know, you should have just stopped there. And it's that... part of it goes back to that instant gratification. And they don't have the long-term view in mind. So just think about... let's say that you've been weightlifting for a year, right? And you've made all this progress, all these gains. You've put so much better numbers on your lifts. And you've surpassed some of the people that have, you know, been there for a while. And then all of a sudden, it's harder to make PRs, right? After that initial year, let's say 6 months after that initial year, you're starting to get a little bit further away from making PRs every cycle. And if you do, it's maybe 1 or 2 kilos. That is where you're going to end up for a long time, because yeah. A lot of people, they don't make those 10 kilo PRs, or they don't add, you know, 30 kilos to their back squat after 2 cycles. You know, that's not realistic to keep up that progress. So eventually you end up getting to the point where a 1 kilo PR is fantastic. Like, it's so, so exciting.
And you got to work for it. Yeah.
And you really have to work for it, because the limits of your strength and your technique are going to be so much harder to overcome the longer you do, you're competing in this sport and continuing to do it.
Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, I want people in that first phase where they're starting to, you know, be really into it and they're doing some good training and they're doing some competitions, to kind of mentally prepare for, like, this will slow down and this will get harder, because it happens to be at the same time that things start, you know, you can't make the same beginner progress anymore. That's also when you've been doing the same 12 exercises 3 to 5 days a week for a year and a half. So being like, I'm not getting good as fast as I was, and this is getting repetitive. So I think it's important to mentally prepare for just kind of knowing that that is weightlifting. Weightlifting is repetitive. And I mean, we change things up and we try to do fun stuff, but you know, there's only so much change you can do and it still be weightlifting.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, if you're doing a complex, you're still going to be snatching and cleaning and jerking. But we might just change the rest or change the position, but you're going to be doing the same things. And so kind of preparing and knowing that it's not always going to be easy, and it's where you have to really love doing it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't like to do it, then you won't. I mean, there's no reason to do it if you don't like doing it.
Yeah, no, and that's totally true. Because there's going to be times where you feel like, you know, I'm just doing the same thing over and over, and I'm like hitting my head against the wall, and I'm not making any progress. And you know, you start to feel like it's almost as if you want to look around and blame everybody else for your lack of progress. And the reality is that the harder or the better you get at it, the harder it gets. And it's kind of like a video game, right? If it's getting harder, you're making progress. So if it's continuing to be easy, you're not there yet. You're still on that easy difficulty. Like, if it's getting to where every time you step up to the bar, it's starting to get really difficult, then you're on the right track. But it doesn't get any easier at any point. Like, so you hit a PR, you're working off of higher percentages. That means you're trying to lift more weight with the same, you know, amount of reps and warm-ups and things like that. So you're continually building. But it's just going to get more difficult, and it's going to have less and less rewards for you, or they're going to be spread out a lot more.
Yeah, and that's where you have to start measuring progress, not on a week-by-week or month-by-month basis, but by saying, okay, how was this last 3 or 4 months? How was this last year? You know, like, what was I lifting a year and a half ago? Okay, that's substantially better than what I was doing a year ago. You know, so kind of taking a long view, I think, and measuring progress through, you know, technical consistency, you know, positioning. Like, if you snatched 55 but had to walk 3 steps forward, and the next time you do a heavy, you snatch 55 and stand straight up, but don't make another one, that you still, that's still better.
Yeah, no,
you know, that's true. That's not a failure to hit a PR, that's improving your ability to snatch 55. So it's practicing that weight, because you just want to accumulate reps at those weights. If you want to hit them in competition, you want to be comfortable doing them.
Yeah, and if you have exercise ADD, and you know you have to have that variety and things like that, weightlifting is going to be a tough sport for you, because it's two lifts. It's two lifts that you get 6 attempts with, or three attempts with snatch, 3 attempts with clean and jerk, and that's it. Like, you're training for, you know what, 12, 13 weeks just to get one chance on the stage to hit those 6 attempts. So it's definitely a mentally grinding sport, a physically grinding sport, and if you can't focus on doing something for an extended period of time over and over again, it's probably going to be a tough sport for you to thrive in. I know a lot of people come from CrossFit and they end up loving weightlifting. And the ones who don't stay, I think it's the people that mentally can't handle like that grind of not always getting somewhere in a short amount of time.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that like, there's a lot that you can do to kind of prepare yourself for that frustration and stuff like that. So, like, you know, like we're talking about, just looking at different ways to measure your progress can keep things really fun. So track, you know, what your best hang snatch plus snatch is, and what your best snatch triple was, and what your 10RM back squat was. Track a lot of these things, because if you know those, you can hit PRs on those things.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Once the snatch and clean and jerk comes down, you're like, well, I pressed 2 more kilos for a set of 5, though. So I hit a PR press, or, you know, I muscle snatched more weight, or I, you know, deadlifted this for a triple. Like, if you, the more things that you start tracking that aren't just your competition results, that's a really fun way to measure progress too. And that can keep things kind of interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And when you have rest days, they should be active rest days. I mean, get out and do other stuff. Get out and, you know, go, if you like hiking, I don't know what the big draw to hiking is, you know, but if you like it, go do that. If you like swimming, go do that. If you want to take a day where, you know, you're just stretching out and, you know, kind of just de-stressing, doing yoga, or, you know, whatever helps you reset. Because like I said, weightlifting can be a tough sport. And if you're not finding other ways to be active, all, you know, that's when people start to burn out. Or if they're always trying to be competitive, that's when they start to burn out too. Is like, or you're putting so much pressure on yourself to perform in every, you know, heavy session or whenever it's competition time. Like, it's gonna take its toll on you. And I think that taking a break, making it fun again, enjoying it, like, every session you should be enjoying it. Like, you get to do weightlifting. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Like, you get to do it. There's people that can't squat because they're injured or you know, they don't have the capability anymore. Or they can't snatch, or they can't clean and jerk because they have injuries. Or, you know, like Max Ada, he can't Olympic lift anymore. All he can do is squat, but he still squats.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a matter of, like, what do you want to get out of it? If your goal is to be competitive, there's going to be times where it's going to be grindy. You're going to have to kind of push, and, you know, there's going to be a little progress for a lot of work. And then, you know, those times where your technique and your strength shine through, you know, those make it worth it, and you're back on the train again. And then for some people, you know, they just want to do some local meets. They just want to get better or stronger, and that's fine too. You know, you track your progress and set your goals accordingly. And I know we talked about goals a while back, but if you don't have anything to work for, even if it's just to stay active, then it's kind of going to be way harder to endure it mentally.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so interesting about weightlifting is that you're so instantly addicted to it once you get into the sport. Like, once people fall in love with the sport, they go hard. And it's I get home from training and I watch videos of myself lifting and then watch videos of the pros lifting. And I've watched every session from the 2014 World Championships eight times. And I'm going to just obsess about this. And I'm going to read this article. And I'm going to look at this thing. And it's kind of hard. I have kind of mixed feelings about it. Because on one hand, if you're going to be truly the greatest lifter you can be, you need that level of like obsession with how can I make my snatch technique look that good? How can I make myself move that fast? Who am I trying to emulate? And you kind of need that, like, because weightlifting takes a lot of time outside the gym to stretch and to eat and to sleep and to set yourself up to have time to train. So you, on one hand, you kind of need that level of obsession over it.
Yeah.
But on the other, it's dangerous because that's where you can get burned out. So like, even if you're obsessed, still try to have at least a few hours a week where you put Instagram down and like go to a movie or, you know, go swimming with friends or do something, because it is easy to burn out.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially when you just base everything around it. So having some conscious decision to, you know, take some time apart is good. But that's not to say I don't think you should also spend a lot of time watching videos of the World Championships.
Right. So, well, the thing is anybody who's ever been great at something has been obsessed with it, right? So they have to be relentlessly pursuing what their goal is to accomplish. So like in basketball, Michael Jordan, he would stay later than all his teammates in practice his jump shot, practice free throws. You know, he would just devote most of his day to perfecting the art of playing basketball, right? And then there's musicians like, let's see, who was one of them? Miles Davis, maybe? Who used to play guitar? I forgot what his name was. Charlie Parker. Maybe it was Charlie Parker. But a lot of these guys would devote like almost every single minute of their day to trying to perfect their art, playing music better, you know, playing the notes in a better way and more fine-tuning their timing. And so these guys just blocked everything out. Like, they didn't have relationships. They didn't have a social life. They didn't have, like, balance. They had a relentless pursuit of what they were trying to be better at. And if you want to be a world champion or you want to be a national, you know, winner, that is probably the mentality you're going to have, because athletes have to be selfish to accomplish their own goals. And if that's what you want, then the level of dedication that it's going to require of you is going to be very high, and there's going to be a cost to it. But if you're lifting because you want to just try to keep that competitive spirit in yourself, yeah, you know, do it. Find other things to help keep you healthy mentally and take a break, take a breather, you know, get some space, do the things you love to do, hang out with people you want to hang out with. But just remember that if you're not committed to the level of dedication that it requires to be at that level, then don't be upset at yourself. Like, because it's not what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, it's hard to compare, you know, yourself to people in situations that you don't have. And if you, you know, are lifting and you like doing competitions and you want to continue to kind of compete in some of these regional meets and like maybe make it into an American Open Finals at some point, that doesn't require the same absolute restructuring of your life as wanting to make a world team or go to a Pan Americans,
right?
You know, so like, if your goal is just to compete and have fun and you love lifting, don't make yourself hate it in 2 years.
Yeah.
Give yourself, you know, don't set yourself up to never want to do this again. You know, set yourself up for a lifetime in the sport, you know, because there's so many ways you can be a part of it, and you can referee and you can host meets,
right,
and you can help other athletes, and you can compete for as long as you can pick up a barbell off the ground. And, you know, so set yourself up to want to be involved in it for a long time. And, you know, burning yourself out before you're 2 years into the sport, you know, it's not going to help.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to help. And there's definitely other ways to stay involved. And The thing is like, if people would just realize, you know, where they sit in the stack, they'll know how much time and effort to dedicate to it. But if you just started 2 years ago and you're expecting to be a national level lifter or an AO finals lifter and you're not getting that, like, that's kind of an unrealistic expectation. And that's when people get burned out, is when their expectations exceed, like, where they're at. Like, they're not getting to where they want to be fast enough. That's when they're just like, oh, well, this isn't for me, or it's not worth it, or it takes too much effort. And it's just a matter of priorities. Like, what's your priority?
And I think, what was it that... I've heard a lot of people say that it's, you know, if you are a beginner starting out, and you don't have any, you know, big restrictions and stuff, you know, you can maybe expect, if you put in 5 or 6 years, to start being close or making it to the American Open finals or nationals. And I think that's about right.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, it's a rarity for people to come in and make it their first year training, you know, and there are, you know, talented people out there, but, you know, that are exceptions to that. But
yeah,
I think for the most part, you know, if you consistently work at it, you know, give yourself that, you know, time.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, it doesn't happen in a year because
right.
It's hard.
Yeah. And we're talking about like lifters in the United States too. Like,
yeah,
our lifters aren't, you know, well-paid state-sponsored lifters. They get some stipends from USA Weightlifting when they're at the, you know, the elite levels. But these lifters from other countries, this is their job. I mean, this is what they do day in, day out. They get their, you know, their needs taken care of by their governing bodies or by, you know, their governments, and to represent them at, you know, the Olympics later on in the quad. So like, our lifters go to school, they work jobs, they have families.
I mean, I don't think we have anybody that doesn't work and school and lift.
Yeah,
you know?
We don't have, I think, any lifter that doesn't have something else on top of weightlifting. So yeah, I mean, it's just it's a tough sport to be in, both, you know, responsibility wise, mentally, physically. So there's a lot of aspects that go into, you know, your success in the sport and how you measure your progress. So all right, well, that's it for today.
Yeah.
We caught up on a lot of stuff. We'll be back on our regular scheduled programming.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
So AO3 is coming up. We'll probably have one more episode, and then AO3 on.
We can.
Sunday, maybe we'll do an episode
there.
I think
we'll do an episode in Vegas. I think we'll have to.
Yeah, all right. So looking forward to that. We'll have some more updates for y'all in the future. Anything else, Grayson?
No, that's it, guys. Have a good one, and we'll see you next time.
All right, y'all. Happy lifting.